activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This Earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Wednesday, August 14th, 2013, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is episode number 78 of the Alien Invasion Podcast. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave. Come and get it, Nelson. And here this week, filling in for Brad and Anessa, are a couple of other Galactic Netcast hosts. First, my partner on the Sci-Fi Film School podcast, it's Matt Victory or Death Stein from Appleton, Wisconsin. Also subbing tonight is Glendale, California's very own Paul. You may all go to hell. I will to Texas. Swickard.
You really messed that up.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm not famous for the smooth openings on the Alien Invasion podcast.
He's also not known for being able to read English.
No. Well, I'm tired, Matt, so shut up.
Oh, and I'm not, Dave. We're going to have this conversation right now in front of all these people?
Okay. You're new here, so just know your place, Matt. So this is the Alien Invasion Podcast, and Brad and Anessa are both in Texas. Brad went down to Texas to be with his girlfriend, Anessa, who are the other hosts of this podcast normally. So while they're away, the mice shall play. And we brought in Matt Stein, like I said at the opening, from the Sci-Fi Film School podcast, and my partner on Time Traveling Robots in Space, Paul Swickard. How are you guys doing?
As with every encounter with you, Dave, I have to be drinking to find it tolerable.
Yes. Paul? Oh, that was an insult. I almost skipped over that.
Definitely.
Wow. Okay. Paul, you should you should know that Matt on the Sci-Fi Film School, every episode he has a different beer. So I'm going to ask him now what he's drinking tonight.
Tonight we're drinking Kentucky Lightning, a bourbon barrel-aged ale from Stanford, Connecticut.
All right. How's it taste?
Bourbon-y, ale-y. Yeah, it tastes like a bourbon barrel-aged, or bourbon-aged barrel.
Is that the
I'm going to stop talking.
Are those the technical terms?
Nope. That's me not being able to put words into sentences.
Okay. And Paul Swickard from Time Traveling Robots in Space, how are you, sir?
I am drinking a light lager known as Pepsi and doing fantastic.
How many years was that bad boy aluminum can aged?
0.3 year, I think.
That's a good year. It's a good year for Pepsi.
Wait a second. 0.3 would be what length of time?
Oh, man.
Some quick math here. 4 months.
Okay. All right.
And that was just a guess.
If it was 0.33 repeating, of course, then it would be 4 months.
Sure. Sure. Yes.
See, this just proves that you guys are both smarter than I am. So I'll just.
But you're prettier.
Oh, thanks.
Except for that sweatshirt. What is that?
This is Roots from Canada. Roots is a brand of clothing from Canada. My girlfriend Stephanie brought this with her when she came to the States in March. I also have a Roots baseball cap that I bought when I was there in July. So,
to stop your hair from blowing around in the wind?
No, it's to cover up my balding so I don't get sunburned. All right, let's get on with the show. This is the podcast where we talk about aliens and their appearances in film, TV, video games, which we're going to talk about tonight, comic books, science, and real life, quote-unquote real life. For you guys and for the listeners who don't know this, the show is divided into three sections. The news, that's where we cover the hot stories of the week. The creature feature, that's our spotlight of a certain kind of alien. And our picks of the week. For the audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show live, go to galacticnetcasts.com/live and just sit there all week waiting for us to go live. No, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus, and we'll let you know when that's going to happen. So if you guys are ready, let's get into this bad boy with this. Hang on.
In the news.
And Paul Swickard has the first story. Sir, go ahead.
I guess I do. I can't get away from politics, apparently. Thanks, Dave.
No problem.
I am going to submit to you that the sequester is limiting our protection from extraterrestrial threats.
Oh, my God.
I know. But hear me out. It actually does make a little bit of sense. Perhaps the greatest vulnerability of the sequester, which is, for those who are not in the know, which is basically cutting funding.
And that's
I don't know why they needed the big word to say cutting funding.
And that's a simple way of saying it, right? There's more to it. The sequester is more than just cutting funding, right?
It's whatever. This is not a political show. Okay. It has opened up the threat of extraterrestrial destruction.
Oh, my God.
I know.
What are we going to do?
The U.S. Air Force announced that it is prepared to shut down the space surveillance system in October as it seeks to comply with the sequester cuts in its 2014 budget. So, yeah, it's essentially a surveillance, it's a space surveillance system.
Wait.
I know.
The government is watching space?
It is watching it rather closely, actually.
Yeah,
it's trying to save $14 million that's using radar to detect objects entering the atmosphere. That is what it's trying to cut. Actually, successfully cut.
Well, yeah. When you put it that way, it makes a little more sense since there's a somewhat actual threat of space debris coming towards Earth.
Yeah, it's just fun to include UFOs in there because there's all sorts of other things. There's
obviously, and that's the first thing I thought of when he brought it up. I'm like, they're spending $14 million watching to see if a UFO comes driving by Earth.
It's fun though to
hey, what's up? How's it going?
It's fun
Sweet.
To take it's,
14 mil, well spent.
It's awesome
that
to
alien
take.
Gave me the finger.
Because you kind of picture it, right? You picture these guys sitting around this room watching these cameras, waiting for
That's
the UFOs. Yeah, waiting for the UFOs to finally appear, you know?
I don't doubt that at all that there are people that do that.
No, I'm sure there are. Yeah, I don't think they're in our government, though.
Yeah, it was a program designed to – it was a quote-unquote critical defense system that is supposed to be manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365.
And this is actually, if you read more of the story, this is kind of an old system, I think, that was set up back in the 60s. So it's sort of long in the tooth, and they are actually going to start work on a new system called the Space Fence.
Space Fence.
See, us Americans
Space
like to put
fence.
We like to put fences up everywhere. We put fences up on the Mexican-U.S. border. We have them in space now.
When is the space fence supposed to be functional?
2017.
Do you know anything about the space fence? Like how?
It's how to keep the space aliens out. Now, it's not big enough. We need a fence.
Can you imagine like a bunch of humans sticking their head over the space fence going, stay off our lawn, you
yes.
rascally aliens, stay off our lawn.
Well, how do you – so a fence is traditionally affixed to the ground. So how do you create a floating fence?
It's not – Matt, it's not a real fence. Okay.
Dave? I liked it better when it was a real fence.
Okay. All right. Just keep it in your mind that it's a real fence then. It's supposed to monitor – 200,000 objects in space. That's according to Raytheon, Raytheon company that is building it. And I'm sure they're getting a lot of money.
And Lockheed Martin.
What's that?
And Lockheed Martin.
Oh, okay.
They're Astro. Yeah, they make planes mostly. And obviously space stuff.
Yeah, space stuff.
It's true.
Is that the technical term? Is that the technical term, Paul?
Space stuff, yes. It's from the space stuffian. People of I'm getting lost in this metaphor. Yeah, so we are less safe from the aliens. That is the main point to be taken away here.
Okay.
It's true.
Now, since you guys are subbing for Anessa and Brad, you guys have to fake that you actually believe in aliens. I should have asked you at the top of the show, are you believers? Do you believe in extraterrestrials?
Paul, go first.
Okay. Do I believe in the possibility? Absolutely. Considering how unlikely it was that we came into existence, I tend to doubt it.
So, do you believe that they have visited us?
No.
No? Okay. All right.
You really should have asked me this before you had me come on. I could be totally misrepresenting myself, sir. I could just say, you know what? Yes. In fact, I had a bad experience that I'm currently seeking therapy for with regard to my first alien experience.
But you know it's good to have a doubter. You know, you could be like the Combs. You can be the Combs of Hannity and Combs on the Alien Invasion podcast. You know,
I don't know. Doubter makes it sound like I don't think that it's even possible. It's totally possible. It's just I find it to be unbelievably unlikely.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So Matt, what are your feelings on aliens?
I agree with Paul. I'm not going to say it's not, they don't exist, because I don't know. But probably unlikely, because it seems weird to me that anytime you hear about a UFO sighting or someone found an alien, they are generally someone that was probably brought up drinking backyard brewed moonshine, and they don't know a hole from their ass. So you don't have like a credible source saying that they saw a UFO or an alien.
Those are the same kind of people that look into the sky and see the moon and go, "Hey, that's an alien spaceship right there, Martha."
Right.
The video camera.
I'm not going to say that they don't exist. Anything's possible.
Yeah, let's expand the horizons a little bit. Do you believe that there's other life in the other intelligent life in the universe?
I won't say no. It's really hard to grasp the concept of what is beyond Earth. For being someone that's, you know, you've lived in one area, you've seen areas around you, you've only seen people and have never been outside the Earth, it's really hard to imagine what's beyond the Earth.
Okay.
So I will not say no. It would be cool if there was. I like meeting new people. Yeah. So I'd meet them if they're not going to like blast me with their space age melty ray.
All right.
But it's cool to imagine what is beyond our grasps and what we can't see.
Okay.
And we can't justify.
All right. Mr. Dave, same question.
Oh, I totally believe that aliens exist. I believe they've been here. I don't believe they're going around abducting people all the time and probing them. You know, I believe that some of the sightings we've seen are true, that those are spacecraft from other planets and other galaxies or other solar systems. I think it's hard to explain or hard to figure out how they got here, being that space is so big. You almost have to start thinking about other means of transportation, like wormholes and, you know, singularities and that kind of thing. So who knows?
But you kind of have to assume that if they can get here, we can get there.
But we don't necessarily have the technology or the know-how
to do it.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're not being told.
Okay.
You know what I mean, though?
Mind blown.
Yeah. You don't. There's probably a lot that's happening. For all you know, Dave, you're on episode 78. The NSA has been watching this
for
70 some odd episodes because you're talking about aliens.
What aren't they watching?
We all know they're capable of monitoring this, but
yeah,
they could have some division that keeps an eye on people sitting around talking about aliens and, you know, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
To that point, I think that it would be awesome. The idea that somebody many, many years from now is going to have to plow through all of this nonsense and listen to this show is kind of awesome.
I know.
So I say hello to you future people.
Yes.
I hope things are awesome.
Yes. All right, let's move on to the second story of the show. Unpublished novel optioned for feature film. We get this once in a while. We get these kind of stories from time to time. The novel in question is called The Defenders by Will McIntosh. I wonder what kind of computer he wrote the book on. Okay.
Probably a Dell.
Yeah. anyways, his story has been tapped by Hollywood for the big screen. The tale of alien invasion, genetic engineering, and the human race's fight for survival captured the interest of Warner Brothers. So he's got big studio behind him. And wow. In June, the company optioned the book for a movie. A screenplay is already in the works. Interesting story with this guy. He was a professor at the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, when he began writing kind of as a hobby when he was 37, and it kind of took off. He has since wrote novels, short stories, won a Hugo Award, which if you don't know, that's a big award in science fiction, the Hugo Award. McIntosh described The Defenders as a twist on the alien invasion story. He said the aliens have the ability to read human minds, and thanks, pizza's here, thanks to their ability to anticipate the human race's every move, they're slowly taking over the world in hopes of fending the aliens off. Humans create genetically engineered defenders whose minds cannot be read, but the human protectors ultimately become more of a problem that the or more of a problem than the extraterrestrial threat. So is that something that sounds interesting to you, Matt Stein?
It kind of does. When you started talking about this, I recalled a movie I saw a couple years ago called The Fourth Kind.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Which kind of like melds the idea of possession and aliens. And if it is steered more in that direction, that's definitely something I would watch. Where I kind of lose interest in alien stories is when it gets weird and cheesy and, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I have a really fine line for sci-fi movie just because for whatever reason, it never really tickled me quite like it gets you.
Yeah. You're like the, you're the non sci-fi geek on this show. That's why we brought you in for the sci-fi film school to test your breaking point.
Well, I wouldn't say I have a breaking point. I've seen a lot of bad stuff in my day, and I really like seeing different movies, whether they're good or bad. But most of all, I enjoy a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's always different points of view. You're always arguing about how these movies are in some fashion good, and I'm always telling you about how bad they are.
You're the yin to my yang.
So,
Paul, Matt, what do you think of this idea? What the story is the humans develop these genetically engineered, what they call defenders, that the aliens can read humans' minds, so they know their every move. So the humans develop these people called the defenders who... the aliens can't read their minds. So what do you think of this concept for this movie or this book?
It could be interesting. I don't know. A lot of things, especially when it comes to sci-fi on its face, could be done well. But I've seen great concepts turn bad really quickly, just depending on a whole host of issues. But, I mean, off the top of my head, I'd say that this provides a interesting way to talk about issues that might otherwise be a bit more difficult to discuss.
Did you not see Elysium this last weekend? Did you see it?
I did.
Are we going to talk?
How was that?
Are we going to talk about it on Time Traveling Robots in Space?
We can talk about it then. We can talk about it now. We can do both.
As long as you don't ruin it for me, because I do want to see it, and I have not seen it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I leave it to Dave, so that way he can be blamed either way.
Okay. I don't want to spoil it for Matt, because anything that you say may soil him or soil him.
Well, I was going to ask Matt, like, what's your ideal? What are some good alien type movies that you have seen that would come to mind for you?
Alien movies. To be honest, any movie that I've seen involving aliens always has some sort of undertone of a different genre, and that's why I liked it. Like Alien movies, the Predator movies, the Alien versus Predator movies.
So you liked them?
I liked the first Predator, but I also really liked Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. So like Terminator, stuff like that. While you were getting your pizza, I mentioned to Dave a movie called The Fourth Kind. it was kind of like a horror movie with a sci-fi undertone. So essentially the people are being controlled by aliens instead of a demon. I'm trying to think of some other like strictly sci-fi movies we've seen.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've never dabbled much in aliens, and it's not for any other reason than I just haven't tried very hard.
Well, maybe this maybe co-hosting this one episode will open your mind to new possibilities, Matt.
You know, District 9. I like that movie a lot.
You should like that movie a lot. I like that movie a lot too.
And that's the one alien movie that comes to mind. Even my wife, who doesn't like aliens, liked it. But I'm on the fence with aliens, and I thought it was a great movie.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. So, okay. Speaking of District 9, Neil Blomkamp also directed Elysium. So, what are your just initial thoughts? Don't spoil too much.
I won't spoil anything. The movie was okay. It was not. I wanted it to be the next. I wanted it to be District 10, and it certainly wasn't. I think he, with the first one, he didn't have much of a budget, and I think he knew what he had to work with, and I think, at least my initial impression is, Mr. Neil got a little long in the tooth and tried to do a bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the CG is fantastic. There are some action scenes that are very awesome, and the tech is believable. You watch that movie and it's like, I wonder if they're talking about social warfare. Oh, okay. There you are.
I was going to ask you if there were some political undertones.
It's okay. If you thought like District 9 certainly had that feel, like it was very, everybody knew what he was talking about. Elysium is like that times 10.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Did you see Elysium, Dave?
No, I have not yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's good.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was, like I said, it was okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to vote, maybe flip a coin for what I see this weekend, because it's either going to be Elysium or The End of the World.
You got to see This is the End.
Yeah.
Oh, I have that.
Or no, not This is the End.
Yeah.
The World's End.
Yeah,
I get those two mixed up all the time.
Yeah. But you know what? It's going to be my pick next week for Tris, because the bad people are supposedly robots. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. Let's move on. Before we hit the last story, we want to get your feedback on the stuff that we've talked about tonight here on the Alien Invasion Podcast. There are many ways to get a hold of us, including email. It's galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966. That's also what, Paul? What can you also use that number for? You're familiar with this technology.
Apparently, you can also use it for text messaging if one is so inclined. And when you think about it, it's almost easier to just write a text message. It's very informal. Like, no one's going to answer the phone. So you really shouldn't call with that perception that, you're going to have some sort of interaction with a person. I promise this will be a very one-dimensional conversation. You will get to say whatever it is that you want. And a text message, you can say it. You can say the same thing, but you understand that you are leaving that open to a variety of interpretations.
Yes.
Because you cannot read tone from a text, for example. You can try and put smiley faces on that. We'll interpret that as best we understand it.
Huh.
What does that smiley face really mean? Is that a sarcastic smiley face?
Right.
Or a genuine smiley face?
People get paid a lot of money to do exactly what you just did.
Wow. What, the NSA?
I was talking about psychiatrists.
Oh, okay. But I was going to say, because maybe they have people at the NSA trying to figure out the emoticons of, like, terrorists or something.
Oh, emoticon codes.
Why does that guy have a turban on his head?
Yeah. Cause
what does that disco ball really mean?
So, okay. That number again is 805-328-3966 or galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. All right, Matt. This is your first news story of any podcast you've been on, so don't mess this up. All right?
Don't screw it up.
Yeah.
In the coming weeks, there's two alien fighting video games that are being released. I would use the term fighting loosely, but Dave wrote it, so we'll allow it. two games where players defend the world against E.T. are hitting consoles and PCs in August. Coming out next Tuesday is Saints Row the Fourth, or Four. I don't know how they decided to brand that. And then it comes out in Europe 3 days later. Now, Dave wrote this and didn't know I had been reading about it, because I have the third one, played the first one, enjoyed them all. Fun fact, this was actually meant as a DLC for the third one, and the company decided to beef it up into an entire game.
Fact. I can back that up.
Yep, I read that today. I was reading it, watching a few videos about it.
Can you explain Saints Row, the series?
I was getting there, Dave.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
No, that's fine. In Saints Row 4, you basically become the president, and then you fight. You get superpowers and fight aliens. And I believe, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but at the beginning of the game, you're in, like, you start off on a different planet, right? Or in an alternate universe. Because from what I saw, you can fly and you run super fast.
I can tell you. You can do all of those things. The reason you can do all those things is because the Earth isn't being invaded by the alien race. And instead of, I don't know why they decided to do this, instead of killing you, the president, they plug you into a Matrix-type environment. And that is what, those are your superpowers, is because you're in a computer.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay. Cool. As Paul kind of mentioned, there's new alien-inspired weapons, superpowers, flight, super speed, and telekinesis. And then coming out a little later this month is The Bureau, XCOM Declassified, which is the origin story for XCOM Enemy Unknown, which I looked up the Wikipedia page, and there's apparently XCOM games going back into the mid to early 90s, I believe. So I didn't realize that there was that many. But in XCOM, The Bureau, XCOM Declassified, it takes place in the Cold War. Whereas the previous one takes place, I believe, a little in the future. And as well as other XCOM games, it's a third-person perspective with tactical play, so it's kind of real-time strategy with more of a turn-based RPG take to it, which I actually just started playing this because it's the free PlayStation Plus game of the month.
Oh.
And it was a little difficult to get going on just because it's a drastically different gameplay than anything I've ever played, but still very fun. Also, in the XCOM, the new one as well as the last one, if someone dies, they die for real. Like, you can't get that player back, which I thought was kind of cool, since it causes you to have more of a strategy involved, because you have to upgrade your players. So if you upgrade the crap out of someone and he dies, you lose everything. That's just a waste of time.
Whoops.
Yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the third-person perspective, you are kind of like directing a whole like group of people? Kind of like...
Third person's like over the shoulder.
Okay.
So like first person is you see the gun, third person's over the shoulder. Excuse me, this one is it's kind of a top down, but not really. I would say halfway between top down and third person. But you like move one character at a time. And okay. Then when your team's moved, then the aliens move.
Okay.
So it's that turn based RPG, but it's kind of real time strategy E, whereas you have to move your guys into position and do it that way.
Okay. Is that the kind of game that you play, Paul, ever?
Oh, I play all kinds. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of like a god. You're in god mode, basically. You're telling people to do things. You're almost like a commander type role.
Okay.
And you're not like, you know, you as a character are not there. You're just controlling everybody.
You know, this is a whole new perspective on this show because none of us, not me, not Brad, not Anessa, none of us are like gamers. So you guys are like infusing new fresh blood into this show. This is awesome.
I find it really difficult to explain normal video game nomenclature to you, Dave. So it's actually good practice because I'll say terms and you'll just be like, well, what does that mean? And I'm like, okay. It means that you push button and make guy go fast.
Hey,
that's what it means.
I'm keeping you on your toes, okay? I'm keeping you, you know, I'm letting you know. I don't know. I'm not doing anything.
You are David, and that's okay.
Okay. Well, good. Both these games sound very interesting. Any more perspective on this, Matt? Any of either of these?
Nothing yet. I mean, I plan on getting Saints Row probably when it gets cheaper. Probably Steam sale material. Not that I don't think I wouldn't get my money's out of it, my money's worth, but there's just so much other stuff coming out. One that I may have to come talk about in October when I know more about it would be Beyond Two Souls for PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about it to know why the main character has the powers she does, but if there's some sort of alien stuff, I'll be back.
Yeah, I think you should definitely be our reporter on the street for Alien Invasion as far as video games go. So anytime
there's... Can I wear a suit?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So anytime that one comes out that you think you have some opinion on, just let us know and we'll put you on the show.
Okay.
All right. Looks good, sounds good. That is the news. Galactic Netcast brought to you by Audible.com. Matt, do you know what Audible.com is?
Oh, boy, do I. Say you don't like reading books. I don't like reading books at all. But you can listen. Oh, that's Stitcher. I almost read the Stitcher ad. Anyways.
It's the same concept.
It really is.
Yeah.
You can basically listen to audiobooks through an app on your phone. I believe it's like a computer. You can do it on through your browser.
Yeah, you can. There's many, many options as far as Audible.
Many avenues.
Yes.
But yeah, you can download, listen to books. It's great.
Yeah. How about
driving?
Yeah, and how about this? If you've always wanted to try it, yes, that's great for driving. If you've always wanted to try Audible, we've got a free 30-day trial for you to check out their service. And all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcast. And we always try to include a pick related to whatever show we're doing. And this week's pick is, I love the title, Homicidal Aliens and Other Disappointments, Alien Invasion Book 2 by Brian Yansky.
I need to listen to this.
So here's a brief synopsis, a short summary of the plot. Jesse is having the worst year ever. First, a race of homicidal but very polite aliens invade Earth, killing...
What does that mean? How can one be homicidal?
But polite.
They kill you in a very nice way, maybe, you know? Pardon us, we would like to kill you now.
I can't say no to you. You're so polite.
Yeah, see? Exactly. So,
what a nice alien.
So these polite aliens invade Earth. They kill everybody, pretty much. They leave a few people behind, enslaved, including Jesse, his best friend Michael, his sort of girlfriend Lauren, and the girl of his dreams, Caitlin. Then he and the survivors discovered that they had some sort of latent telepathic abilities that made them dangerous to the aliens. See, this kind of goes back to that story that we were talking about earlier. So their hope for survival ways to run. What? So their only hope for survival was to run away. Okay. So there you go. That's Homicidal Aliens and Other Disappointments, Alien Invasion Book 2. So there must be a book number one. So either get this one or that one or any book of your choice as your free 30-day trial or your free book with audible.com. Again, go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts.
So while you were just reading that, all I could think about was Lloyd Christmas in Dumb and Dumber when he was reading the newspaper. Anul. Sorry, Dave. You know I love you, but
you call me dumb. You call me dumb.
I'm not calling you dumb. I have problems reading too. I generally read through these things. Anything I have to say, I read through before we go on to make sure that I don't do what you just did.
Okay. All right. Good advice for you podcasters out there. All right, let's move on to doing this right here.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
All right, so for you guys, if you don't know what Creature Feature is, it's basically a famous alien in the world of fiction or in real life. You know, the aliens that people see when they get abducted or, you know, aliens from a close encounter, that kind of thing. Or, you know, aliens from books, TV shows, and movies. In this case, this week's creature feature are the gremlins. I figure that both you guys would be kind of up your alley a little bit.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's an assumption, man.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to call you out like that.
No, you know what? Now that I said it, I realize it's kind of a dumb thing to think or say, so I apologize.
Not for me.
You don't have to apologize.
You know I like horror movies, and Gremlins falls into the horror.
Yeah, see, I think that's
sci-fi.
I think that's what I was thinking for Matt.
So you got me covered, but what about Paul?
Yeah. Paul, you ever see Gremlins?
I did. I've seen both. In fact, if you look below, I took that and I'm like, oh, see, this is something that we should recommend.
Holy crap. That's your pick.
I know,
oh,
right?
Okay. All right. Good to know.
So let's just say you saw that and assumed that I liked it.
Okay.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah. That's the way we'll go with that. Okay. So the gremlins are the fictional reptile-like creatures who are the primary antagonist of the Gremlins movie franchise. They made their debut in 1984 in the movie Gremlins, reappeared in its sequel, Gremlins 2, The New Batch, in 1990. So I wasn't sure about this until, because it's been a long time since I've seen the movie. I think I've only seen it once. I wasn't sure where the line was drawn between gremlins, if the cute ones were called something else, and it turns out they are. They're called Mogwai.
Is that Mogwai?
Mogwai?
Yes.
That's the state they're in before they become a gremlin.
I don't know that they fully thought this through. Yes, we'll just say that's true.
Okay. See, according to the article that I got this from, they go from Mogwai to cocoon to gremlin.
The process is correct.
Okay. All right. So it's said that the gremlins are considered to be an unwanted side effect from when the Mogwais were created on a faraway planet to be used as ambassadors of peace on other planets, which I can see.
That is no.
No?
That is a stupid idea.
Okay.
That is really dumb.
So that's incorrect information?
That is... okay. Uh-oh. Let me just break this down for everybody here.
But, Paul, this came from the Gremlins Wiki. Come on. It can't be wrong.
I know that that's... Okay, I am not saying it's not true. I'm saying that it's a horrible idea.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I don't know about the truth of it, but okay. Is the implication here that the Mogwais are, like, used as... So they're saying that the Mogwais are peaceful.
Yes.
That's what they're saying.
Yes.
Okay. That is absolutely not true. These things are okay. Have you seen these movies, Dave?
It's been a long time. Long
okay.
time.
Okay. Gizmo is probably the only good-natured one among them. Forget about what state they're in. it's not like they're completely docile and just happy, fancy, free little creatures while they're in their puffball state. That's not true at all. They're just as evil. The problem is when they turn, they're like a lot uglier and they have teeth. That's basically the problem.
Okay, can I propose something?
Sure.
Maybe the creators who created the Mogwais didn't know that would happen. Maybe they thought that they engineered these guys to be
like teddy bears.
Yeah, teddy bears, peace loving, to go out into the galaxy and, you know, as ambassadors for peace. Maybe they didn't know that they would become mean and then eventually become gremlins. They had no idea. It's a side
I'm just
effect.
Talking about the nature of what they are.
Okay.
Like they're just okay. I mean, you're right. Like, I suppose that's possible.
Okay.
But yeah, like it's calling a cigar what it is. It's a cigar.
Okay.
Let me put it to you this way, Dave. You would not want one of these things as a pet. And I don't care if it could never, ever, ever turn into a green, scaly thing. You would not want this thing as a pet because its job in life is to make your life miserable. And it does that by, like, screwing up whatever it can.
Just
usually something electronic related.
Wreaking havoc.
Yeah. Okay. They're mischief makers.
Okay. And that's where the original gremlin idea for the gremlin came back in, because the idea of gremlins had been around way before the movie. They were just, because that's what people blamed things on. Oh, that's a gremlin, you know?
Yeah. It's the gremlins in the computer. Yeah. There's something on the wing.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of funny. I forgot to take out one paragraph or a couple of lines from last week's creature feature. So last week's was Species 3489 from Star Trek Voyager. So it would be funny if you were reading this, because the first line, the line above says, they're about 1 meter tall. They have scaly reptile-like skin, large bat-like ears, 3 sharp claws on their feet and hands, and equally sharp teeth. And then the next line says, the species' immune system is able to destroy anything which penetrates their body, chemical, ugh, biological, or technical. They are impervious to normal Borg assimilation.
Good information.
that would be a really weird mashup. To have like the gremlins fighting the Borg from Star Trek. That would be cool. Are you familiar with the Borg, Matt?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So no gremlin has so far proved to be good-willed. See, you were right, Paul.
Oh, but yeah. They're saying gremlins, not the Mogwai.
Okay.
See, I think that if Gizmo were to become a gremlin, I think he'd be still good-willed. He never went into a gremlin, though.
Okay.
Because, in fact, he refused it. He had the opportunity to be able to eat after midnight, and he just kind of turns away. He's like, no, I don't want it.
I forget. Do they don't talk English, do they?
They do.
Oh, they do?
Bits and pieces. Yeah, it's not coherent. Well, which movie are we talking about? There is one character specifically I'm thinking of in Gremlins 2 where he is by far the most articulate among them and most likely more articulate than you or I.
Okay. So he speaks the king's English.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
But the rest of them will say like utter like small phrases or words or things like that.
Did Gizmo speak?
Not. I don't think so.
Okay, he just looked cute.
He like you know he had gestures and he had like sounds that he made, but I don't think he ever said anything.
Okay, all right. So there you go, the Gremlins. That is our creature feature of the week. If you want to respond to anything that me, Matt, or Paul said, leave us feedback on the creature feature. The voicemail number is 805-328-3966 or galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Now, let's talk about our second sponsor of the show, which is Stitcher. Matt, you can jump in whenever you want since you were so ready to talk about Stitcher earlier.
You can listen to all of the Galactic Netcast shows on Stitcher Smart Radio via your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry phones, Android tablets, and Nook. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts and enter the promo code galacticnetcasts. If you haven't checked it out yet, Stitcher recently launched their Smart Station feature, which helps listeners discover new content based on their listening activity. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
And the good read.
Good job. Because I read it before I read it.
Good job, Matt. Way to prep. I'm impressed.
You know, the first thing I thought of when I was reading that is, people still have BlackBerries?
Yeah, no. And the company is looking to be sold, so that may not be a thing for very much longer.
I saw that they came with the BlackBerry 10, and then I looked at it, and I was like, yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah. Didn't have very good specs, did it?
No. Yeah. No, it was a BlackBerry.
Plus, you're in the BlackBerry ecosystem, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I could complain about BlackBerry, but then we wouldn't be talking about aliens.
Yeah, that's true. So I wanted to mention something real quick before we move on, something more about Stitcher. If you're not aware of this, the way the system works is you can either stream shows directly from the internet or download them to your device. So, like, if you're going to be in an area, if your space on your phone or your mobile device is limited, maybe you don't have an SD card, you can just stream the shows. Or if you're going on a trip and you won't be, you know, have, you know, good internet, then you can download the shows that you want to listen to on your trip. That's how.
That would have been awesome last week when I didn't have power for 2.5 days.
Wow. You didn't have power for 2.5 days?
Ugh. You didn't watch the news at all?
No.
5 tornadoes went through Appleton.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. Holy. I could tell you the whole story after the show.
All right. Okay. No, I was unaware. Whoops.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
All right. Cool. All right. So there you go. That is, we want to thank Stitcher for their support of the Alien Invasion podcast and Galactic Netcasts. Moving on, since we were just talking about the Gremlins, let's do our picks. And I think Mr. Paul Swickard has a related pick.
Am I going first?
Yes.
Sweet. I'm picking Gremlins 2 because you know what? Gremlins. This movie, just getting this out of the way, this movie is real different from the first Gremlins. The first Gremlins is, I mean, you could argue that it's a horror movie. It kind of is. It's like a PG-13 horror movie, kind of a shpilly deal. There's a lot of, it tries to create some tense moments. Gremlins 2 is just goofy. Like, it's kind of strange. Like, and that's probably why I like it. It's just because it's really odd. Dave, you probably would appreciate this. One of the main things about this particular Gremlins movie is that it's in a giant office type environment in a multiple story complex, like it's in a giant office building.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a, you know, a huge conglomerate of they do a lot of different things. So from floor to floor, things are changing dramatically. Like, okay, they'll have, like, there's a studio network on one floor. There's a lab on another. I mean, it just is kind of, and it's basically a scene in which it allows the Gremlins to wreak havoc. That's its function, really.
Okay.
So, I mean, they completely, there's one scene where they completely trash a cooking show.
Oh, nice.
Right in the middle of airing. So there's that. Geez, what else? There's the one scene where they try to do routine dentistry on a human being. Okay. That goes over really well. probably one of the things that everyone's going to remember about it is the mutant gremlins. So, as I mentioned, there is a lab in this building. They find all these serums, and they're gremlins. They're mischievous. They just start drinking random things, and as a result, they turn into these weird hybrid type things. Cool. Let's just run down a few here. One, there's a vegetable gremlin. He looks like a living, breathing vegetable creature. Like, he has green peppers on his skin and lettuce ears, things like that.
Carrot fingers.
Yeah.
That's all I remember from those movies.
There's the bat gremlin, which essentially is a gremlin with bat wings. There's an electric gremlin in which he turns himself entirely to energy. There's Greta, which is essentially a sex transformation, so it becomes a woman. He becomes a she.
Oh my God.
And there's a Stripe, or mohawk, depending on who you ask. He stole a spider thing, and he became this weird hybrid between a gremlin and a spider. My personal favorite, though, is the brain gremlin, which he drinks this brown juice that allows him to talk like a human, completely rational person.
Okay.
He also wears glasses.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. To have that creature, you know, speak like that and to act human like that, and but then turn around and do gremlin behavior, that's awesome.
Yeah. I highly approve of all that. So, yeah, I mean, if you're just looking for a kind of scary, kind of jokey joke, mischievous movie, go see this. If you're looking for a sequel to the first Gremlins movie, you should not see this. You should see, like, I don't know, Critters or something. I don't know.
This place that they're at in this movie reminds me of, I don't know what the name of that industry's, that company's called in Better Off Ted. You guys fans?
Oh, yeah.
Paradigm.
Yeah.
Paradigm? Yeah. But I just watched a bunch of this the other night.
That's a great show.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Viridian Dynamics.
Thank you.
But it just sounds like that type of building where they have like offices on one floor and then they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, man.
Is this available on Netflix?
No. I just checked, actually.
Oh.
Same here.
That's a bummer. This sounds like something they would have on Netflix.
I know. I wish it would.
There's some.
I'm just seriously considering it, renting it, though.
Hey, you know, make it a theme night, you know, make it a do a crazy 80s monster movie night, you know, the weird
ones.
So
I didn't know this. At the end of, there's one cut of the movie where at the very end of the film, not at the very end, but at some point in the movie, the director wanted it to appear as though Gremlins had gotten into the theater. So he saw a bunch of shadow puppets and the film cut at one point. Like, it looked like they were in the background of the theater, like, just messing with stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. And some worry that people would actually think the film was broken, so it wasn't shown that way.
Oh, bummer. That would have been awesome.
I know, right?
That's like before. When did this come out?
I think it came, if I remember correctly, I think that version was, like, they edited it a little bit to make it look like they were that had happened with the videotape, like in a VHS recorder.
Okay.
I think when they released it on VHS, they had a similar scene, if I remember correctly. Okay.
That's like the staying for the credits. That's a pretty common thing these days.
I know, right?
Yeah.
This was in 1990.
Yeah. All right. Is that it? Is that all you got?
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool.
I could do more.
You could talk for days on Gremlins 2, the new batch?
I don't know about days, but at least another hour.
Okay.
I got a meeting at 8 a.m., so.
All right. Enough, Paul. Let's move on to Matt. What is your pick?
You know, I had XCOM because I played it, and then since we started, am I able to change it? Is that okay with you?
What?
My pick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I want to change it to the movie The Fourth Kind. Since I couldn't honestly tell you the last time I thought about this movie until talking with you guys, I feel it's a little more relevant.
Yeah.
I have more to talk about.
Okay.
But the IMDb plot summary just says, a thriller involving an ongoing unsolved mystery in Alaska, where one town has seen an extraordinary number of unexplained disappearances during the past 40 years, and there are accusations of a federal cover-up. Basically what happens is this lady plays... She's a psychiatrist, and she puts all these people under hypnosis and records all this stuff, and they tell what's happening, and through a series of stories, and it's filmed as such as Paranormal Activity. So it's like you'll see her talking, and then it'll cut to quote-unquote actual footage, and it'll show these people like freaking out in chairs and telling stories and stuff. And I honestly don't remember what happens to cause it, and it's probably better so I don't ruin it for anybody, but it's some sort of extraterrestrial, I don't want to say invasion, but they're coming to Alaska because it's in the middle of nowhere and abducting people, and that's where all this crazy stuff is coming from. These people are coming back and people in the city are losing their mind, and it bridges the gap between sci-fi alien and horror movie for me, which is why I really did enjoy it. But with most movies of that genre, the holy crap look, it's actually real. it was, I didn't want to say it was done well, because I don't think they're able to be done well when you know that they're not real. But it was done in a different sense than the, I'm going to put up a video camera and film all the demons in my house. And I think that's what really got me on it.
Well, the way they did it, because I've seen this too, the way they did it is they pretended like this movie was based on real events. So they took the supposed real footage and intermixed it with the dramatic recreation of the story.
Right. I recall that. And I was surprised that IMDb only gave it a 5.8, and I'm guessing Rotten Tomatoes probably didn't give it much better. I didn't think it was that bad, but I didn't think it was great.
What I remember about the promotion or the marketing for this film, they actually marketed it like based on real events. And after I saw the movie, afterwards I found out that it wasn't. I was kind of a little bit pissed off, actually.
I would be too. That's definitely... Ooh. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 19%.
Ooh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's like, that's not even half good. That's just bad.
That's just.
Well, you know, if anything, see it for Mila Jovovich. She's in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I agree with what you're saying. You can't market something as being based on actual events when none of it actually happened.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what, I saw a horror movie like that involving a demonic possession in like Italy or something, and they're like, oh, based on a true story, and at the end it's like, yeah, sorry, none of this ever happened and this movie sucked.
That seems to be going around recently. Like they they did that with Megalodon recently, like that big shark.
The shark
thing has been the thing recently.
Yeah.
So they build this drama thing to be like, oh, these guys are searching for Megalodon. And there's like two frames of the film where it actually says, no, this is really all just dramatization.
That was Discovery Channel, right?
Yeah. It's like, oh, Discovery Channel, great. You're not actually discovering anything anymore.
Yeah, remember when you used to actually talk about real things and like real science, and now you're making up crap?
Oh,
thanks.
Why would they do something like that?
I don't know.
Whatever, ratings, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. If you market it as being based on a true story, you're going to get 14-year-olds that are like, holy crap, we got to go see this. It's going to be so terrifying because it's real. And that's your market in situations like that.
You can blame Blair Witch for all this.
Oh, that's the unfortunate reality.
It's kind of true.
Yeah.
No, it's absolutely true.
Yeah. And how many paranormal activities have there been? Like 12?
The sixth one comes out this October.
Jesus.
The worst part, I've seen them all.
I've heard those have like varying quality. Like I've heard some of them are actually quite good. Others are like really not good at all.
The first one I saw in the theater, and the sheer factor of me expecting something to come flying out at me, I don't want to say scared me, but it kept me uneasy.
Okay.
And then when the movie ended, I remember being upset because the ending sucked. And that was the only one that I had any sort of reaction out of. From there on up, I think I saw the second one because my wife wanted to, and then it was like, well, I've seen the second one, might as well see the third one.
You're in.
So on and so forth. What really chapped my backside with the last one was the use of the Xbox Kinect to detect ghosts.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like the
I've
house.
I've never even heard of that. That's awesome. Yeah,
the house took place, and they had the Kinect in the living room, so it would show night vision, which is true. It displays a dot matrix in the room. That's how it keeps track of your movement.
Yeah.
And under night vision, it can be seen. So they would, you know, just show a night vision of the living room with the dot matrix all over, and then you would see, some crap ran up the stairs is going to murder a child. And that upset me, because it's like, now you're just trying to stay relevant. You're shocked, too. And it's like, all these people are going to be like, holy crap, I have a Kinect in my living room. I'm going to catch ghosts.
I wonder how many people called Xbox, like Microsoft support, going like, oh, my God.
Maybe that's why the Xbox One forces the Kinect, so that Xbox can keep track of paranormal activity in your living room.
All right. This is good ground that we've covered. Thank you very much, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
I highly recommend this movie as well. It's a good movie. It's not as bad as people think.
No, not at all. I've seen some bad movies in my day. Like, out of curiosity, while we were talking, I looked up The Slumber Party Massacre on Rotten Tomatoes, and that actually got a 30%, whereas this got a 19.
Wow.
And I think this movie's better than that one.
Yeah.
Just going to say Rotten Tomatoes, you can't really put a lot of weight in that.
No. It's a little bit weighted sometimes.
Absolutely.
All right, speaking of bad movies, my pick is a really, really bad movie. It's called Creature. And I have found a new genre of films that I'm kind of into on Netflix.
Okay.
It's this between 1978 and mid-90s space horror. And they have a lot of them on Netflix.
Are we going to start doing these for Sci-Fi Film School when we come back?
Yeah, I'm going to have to make a list because these are prime candidates for Sci-Fi Film School. I mean, this would be perfect. Actually, I watched two this week. I was going to have the other one as my pick for time-traveling robots in space, but I found something else to use for that. But this is one of the two I watched. It takes place on Saturn's largest moon, Titan, and the scientists are on the ground. They discover this, what looked like, they never really had a good view of them, but they kind of reminded me of like a sarcophagus. And they thought that these creatures inside, and they thought they were like dead because they were like thousands and thousands of years old. Turns out they weren't. They were still alive, just waiting for the next living being to succumb to take them over.
I don't approve of this.
Yeah. So these scientists, there's Germans and then there's Americans, I think, on Titan. And they lose signal from their base or whatever. And one of the ships, like, comes back to the base and, like, rams right into the base. Like, it's like a space station orbiting some planet. I forget which planet. So this company sends out another mission, which they always do in these movies. Aliens. They're always sending out these big corporations are sending out these missions to find out what happened. And, of course, it backfires on them. These creatures discover more people to be eaten. And that's what this movie is, basically. And what's great about this genre of movies is bad acting, nudity. It's almost guaranteed in all of these. There's nudity. And then what was the third thing? I forget. Oh, it's just bad. They're just bad movies. But they're fun to watch.
You gotta have the trifecta.
Yes.
Yeah. I had a better third one, but I forget what it was now. Anyways, that's my pick, Creature. Check it out. It's on Netflix, and we'll put released in 1985, so the year I graduated high school.
The year I was born.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut your hole, Matt.
Now I will always know how long you've been out of high school.
It's available on Netflix, but we'll put a link to Amazon where you can buy it through our store on galacticnetcast.com. Whenever you buy something on our store, like our picks, you will be helping out Galactic Netcasts, supporting us monetarily. So go to galacticnetcasts.com, click on store. You'll get two options. You can go to the picks page, which this will be on, or you can go to the store, which we have things like T-shirts, caps, bumper stickers, mugs, all with the Galactic Netcasts logo on it. So that's a great way of supporting and showing your loyalty to Galactic Netcast. So we'll have Creature, The Fourth Kind, and Gremlins 2 on the picks page this week. So please go ahead and buy those and support the network. All right, that's our picks, and that's the show, pretty much. Don't forget, you can leave us email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. The voicemail number or text number is 805-328-3966. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And subscribe to the show via iTunes or via Stitcher. You can subscribe, and then if you're on iTunes, if you do it that way, please give us 5 stars and a great review. That will give us or get us more subscribers.
Woohoo!
So you guys are coming back tomorrow night with Time Traveling Robots in Space. Anessa's gone, or no, Anessa's busy with Brad down in Texas. So
wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well wow. Done.
I said busy. I didn't add the other
what
word.
What didn't you say? What didn't you say, Dave? What are we talking about?
I'm not going to say what I didn't say, because that will get me in trouble.
You're already in trouble, man. You might as well just go all out.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to.
You've come this far.
I refuse to.
Let's be honest. They're probably Diaz, they're knitting a blanket. What else do people do? That's what my wife and I do. We knit blankets.
Okay.
It is one of the more favorite things we do in our house as well as knit blankets.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta help out cold people.
Right. Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
All
like
right.
Every night. Help the cold people.
Back to my original point. Matt's going to be joining us on Time Traveling Robots in Space tomorrow night, which you can also subscribe to if you like this show. Come on over to Tris. We have fun on that show as well. Before we get out of here, though, we have feedback. Paul, do you want to read the feedback that we got?
Sure. Let's see. This is a mass text. You're in my context, and this is from someone called Swick. Thank you, Swick.
Gee, I wonder who that is.
I don't know.
Can't tell by that name who that
could
have been.
This is a mass text.
Yeah.
You're in my context. So that's good to know. Whoever this is, we are in his context.
Where did this come from?
This person left a text at the number, 805-328-3966. You can do that as well.
Maybe. That's wonderful. See, that's why you need to do the whole texting thing, because this, again, is open to interpretation.
Yes.
Why did this person feel the need just to say that you're in the context? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You can text us, and we will read it on the show, no matter what it is.
Oh, thanks.
That's going to leave it open.
I think
that's
true.
Yeah. Okay.
Depending, it's mostly true.
Yeah, it's mostly true, but... we will edit when needed. All right. That's going to do it for the Alien Invasion number 78. Before we get out of here, final thoughts? Matt, you're first. What's your final thought?
This was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. Not that I don't enjoy spending time with you, but as stated a couple times, this is really out of my realm. Mm-hmm. So it was cool. I don't know. If any aliens come, if they're hostile, regardless of how nice they are, I will kill them.
Okay.
All right.
Good to know. And you're welcome to come back whenever you have a video game, alien-related video game to talk about. You'll be a reporter, Matt.
Awesome.
All right. And Paul, what's your final thought? And okay, before you say it, since this is not time-traveling robots in space, you don't have to... do the final thought that you usually say on that show.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to do. I was going to say a different one now, and I'm going to say the same one that I always say tomorrow. That's the plan.
Okay. Say it.
Right. Which one?
Whatever it is.
I, for one, welcome our alien overlords.
All right. Good one. Good job.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.